This is the Montreal Bias, a podcast production of rabbithabs.com. Zach with you here, joined as always by my loyalist co-host, Sean O'Neill. How you doing on this Friday night, Sean?
We did it, buddy.
We did it. What did we do?
We did it.
We recorded two podcasts in 2 weeks?
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
If anyone wants to, you'll have to scroll back a little bit, but if anyone wants to check out either of our Twitter feeds, our long-running, very subtle campaign to engage the corporate behemoth known as Wrangler.
Yes.
A little bit of traction there, right?
A little bit of traction. They heard us, Sean. They know we're out there.
They know we're out there. They know we exist.
Yeah. Today, maybe the at the Montreal Bias Twitter account got a little aggressive with retweeting their ads and then following it up with just the words used in the Wrangler ad to caption it. The exact same picture of Carey Price pummeling Kyle Palmieri over and over again. But I think we figured out how to get their attention at this point.
We did it.
So any day now, that free denim just gonna come rolling in, baby.
Christmas miracle.
It really is. I do believe. So that's a fantastic segue off the top, Sean.
Yeah, not bad.
And again, thank you to Wrangler for being the sponsor of this podcast. We appreciate that a lot. Now, I know you give us nothing, and you are only maybe slightly aware now at this point that you supposedly sponsor this podcast, but we do appreciate that. And obviously the reason we do that is because Carey Price is one of their spokespeople, and Carey, as I alluded to a moment ago, he had himself a big night on Thursday night.
Yeah, he did.
What did you think?
I thought there was, nothing he couldn't do. He adds another thing to the list.
He's got so many talents, and whooping on Palmieri is one of them, apparently. Palmieri, you little bitch. So there are some people out there, and I admit right now, I am looking at this through Carey Price love and Montreal Canadian blah blah rouge glasses, but I don't care. Really don't care. There's a reason I'm a sports fan, and there's a reason I'm a fan of one team only. And it's so that once in a while, somebody can whoop on somebody in a way that, you know, if it was Craig Anderson or Tuukka Rask, I'm sure I'd be upset. But when it's Carey Price, it's all good. You know what? If it's Henrik Lundqvist, it'd be all good, too.
That would be fun, yeah.
There's a few who I would accept it from, and a few who I really wouldn't. The rest, I'm not sure. That's a gray zone. But if it's like Craig Anderson or Tuukka Rask or Ben Bishop, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. The only thought that does cross your mind is, you know, don't break your hand.
Yes. But he didn't, so we're okay.
Yeah, he didn't. So yeah, no harm, no foul. But
he wasn't swinging that hard. People, no. it was like mouth move. It wasn't much.
It wasn't much. And I mean, you got your blocker there. It's probably, you know, the risk of injuries presumably relatively low. But that would be the only concern, right? Is that you're already without your two centers, and then the MVP breaks his hand in a fight, and he's out for a month.
You're such a goddamn millennial. Oh, what if someone gets hurt? Grew up on those Nerf playgrounds. Not like me, 1 year older than you. What's that?
Really fun.
You grew up
Nerf playground sounds amazing.
I know, I would love that. Damn it, I wish we'd had that. All we had was a rusty can. Found it in the woods. We named him Dave. Here's my favorite quote. Here's just the best quote from Carey Price, especially the way he said it. I was last night, I was sitting on the couch, like, laughing my ass off when he said it. Just made me, I just got fired up, I guess. I just got fired up, I guess. Like, such a Carey Price way to say it. It was amazing. I've had a lot of great Carey Price moments as a fan through the years, but I really loved last night.
Yeah, it was fun. It's, I mean, goalie on player fights are pretty rare, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't even a, like, it was just an ass kicking. Yeah. And, whatever. Like, it might have even been Petrie's fault. It was all great.
It was most definitely Petrie's fault.
Palmieri went in a little extra leg, like anyone would. I would too, but I'm a shit disturber too.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I played hockey at any level ever, what would have happened was I would have definitely been the guy who was sort of taken down by the defenseman going towards the net and then just, like, left my leg or did what I could. That would 100% be me, and there would be a goalie who at some point kicked my ass with his blocker. That would happen to me, for sure. But I never played.
Would have been Carey Price.
Oh, that would have been, oh, what a good story I could have had. So that was one bit of the big news last night, and we'll probably allude to that throughout the podcast because I'm going to keep thinking about it. But something else, a new bit that I wanted to introduce because it's 2 weeks in a row now this bullshit's happening, and it's got me steamed. I know you can hear it in my voice. A new bit that we're going to call Who is Ripping Us Off This Week? So last week I came in hot because – you know, up at the top, the Kingdom of Hockey podcast, you got Merrick versus Wyshynski. Why do I always say it wrong the first time? And then, and then you got Puck Soup, also with Wyshynski and Dave Lozo. Now, last week I was complaining because Wyshynski got married, and that was kind of my thing, I thought, in hockey podcast world. We were milking that. And now Dave Lozo writes an article today kind of making fun of measuring like picking a winner on a weekly basis of the 76-6 Subban versus Weber, who's won the trade right now at this moment in the last 10 to 15 days. And that's us. I mean, that's nearly our whole brand at the moment.
That is really the lifeblood of this podcast at this point.
So while selling out, as we promised at the beginning of the year, may not have brought the hordes of listeners quite yet or any advertising revenue, but the Kings are noticing, at least.
Oh yeah, they're not that dissimilar from Wrangler in many ways.
Exactly. Contact's been made. So they're riding off our sweet, sweet content now, getting the big boosts courtesy of us. But we're not really seeing the trickle down yet.
No, but it's a bit of an honor to engage, right?
That's true. Yeah, no, that's true. We got to first base, and you got to be proud of that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And I tweeted, they didn't react to this, but I sent them a little gif from Arrival of the first contact there because I just saw that movie last week and was riding high off it. That's a great movie. Have you seen it?
Which one?
Arrival.
No, I want to.
Yes, you should. I recommend
it. I don't even think I've seen Contact. So.
Whoa, Contact's amazing.
They get a double bill.
I'd go see that. I'd be like, actually, there'd be a bunch of nerds. But Contact, I don't know how Contact is seen. Oh, how about this fucking Puck Soup? We're doing nerd talk now. It's on. So in Contact, I don't know how people remember it, if it has a great reputation historically. I remember it amazingly. I've seen it several times over the years, but I just learned when I was reading about Arrival that Carl Sagan wrote Contact. Crickets from you, huh?
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
Kind of know the name, maybe, but
you kind of know Carl Sagan?
Yeah, I got nothing, buddy.
Holy crap! You got to learn some things, bud. All right.
Yeah. Not a big sci-fi guy, if that wasn't immediately apparent from the last 5 minutes of conversation.
Carl Sagan's not a sci-fi thing. Carl Sagan's a real sci thing. He's like one of the great physics writers of all times.
I'm also not real world smart.
He's the guy who
and spending all my time like reading up on string theory and doing useful things.
Hey, it makes us who we are, all right? No, Carl Sagan's the guy who made the original Cosmos.
Okay. All right. It's like if Bill Nye the Science Guy wrote Inglourious Bastards.
Did that not happen? I can't. You know my thing with Tarantino and Bill Nye. I can't tell them apart. And then on the other side, it's Beekman and Spielberg. Cannot tell them apart either. All right, so let's get into the bit that's been stolen from us, but whatever. We'll keep fighting for it. Little guys down here, just trying to do what we can to make a living. Just hoping for some free denim one day. 76-6, I gotta say this week, Sean, it may have finally turned.
Yeah, there are a lot of Bergevin apologists out there who are ready to write this one off after 10 games or 20 games, but Weber's slowed down a bit just because of
he couldn't maintain
law of averages. Like, the guy wasn't going to score 60 goals, I don't think.
See, so, I thought he was. That's why I'm a little sad right now. I had him down for 60.
So Weber slowed down a tick. The Habs, obviously off their pace as well from the beginning of the season. That was kind of to be expected, and Weber's still playing well, and the Habs are still playing decent-ish. So it's not really on that end. It's just more that, you know, the sleeping giant that was the Predators, they finally seem like they're rounding into form. Maybe not firing on all cylinders yet, but looking like a playoff team finally, at the very least, after really, really stumbling out of the gate early on. And PK was never bad early on, but, you know, wasn't his usual dominant self, but he's been... Not coincidentally, as he's kind of heated up, so has the team. So, yeah, right now you'd call it a draw, maybe?
Maybe
PK's taking the pole position. But, I mean, you know, for all the people who are writing this off, who you know, we're going to hand the Norris to Weber and say that the trade was a clear win, it's a long-ass season.
I don't want to get too behind the scenes, so we'll have this conversation quick. To not bore the people, Sean, but I do want to get into the ins and outs of this bit a little bit.
Yeah.
Are we measuring it on since we last spoke, who's winning it this week, or is it more like a literal horse race where it's the totality of it? Because there is a point at some point PK is going to take a long, long lead.
When we're doing this podcast 8 years from now, I feel relatively confident that PK is going to be well ahead.
I am as confident that we will not drop the bit at any point. We'll keep checking in with that on a weekly basis. So with that in mind, I'm going to call it still the Montreal Canadiens, but barely. Only because those recent, like if they voted on Norris today, Shea Weber would still probably get it over PK.
Yeah, that's fair.
Another 2 weeks, that may change, but not today.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And I'm going to hold on to Shea Weber being in the lead because once he gets past, I don't know that he'll ever reclaim it.
Neither do I. And like we've said before, the demise of Weber was obviously over-exaggerated. And we should have all been, myself included, should have been more cognizant of the fact that this could have been, you know, a wash for a year or two. And I think we did kind of say that at the time. Mm-hmm. The problem was never really this season or next season. It's 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, to say nothing of 8 years down the road when Subban's still in his prime and you know, Weber's pushing 40 and still under contract. But, it was always probably going to be relatively close for this first year. But all the people who are ready to hand Bergevin general manager of the year after 10 games and Weber the Norris after 10 games, that's quieted down a little bit.
I'm going to drop my ruse for a moment and say that the only way, this is quite honestly, the only way I can see in the long run us still, or be me, still being able to semi-convincingly make the argument that the Canadiens won the trade is if when all's said and done, Shea gets a cup or two with Montreal and Nashville never gets anything with PK.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
Yeah. Two seems like a really tall order. Yeah, if they win the cup, sure.
Yeah.
Although even then, like, the Habs won the cup in 93 with Denny Savard, and I don't think anyone looks at that trade as a win.
No, agreed. And that's the thing. They would also have to still stay relatively close in talent. It couldn't just be a massive drop-off from Weber and PK continue to, you know, go up and up and up throughout his career. If they, you know, they had, by the end of their career, kind of similar numbers... But we all knew PK was, you know, probably because we'll be much more trusting of advanced stats, especially by the time his career comes over. If we're still like, yeah, PK is probably the better player overall, but one has cups and the other doesn't, and that wouldn't even, you know, actually be an indictment on either of them. That's the only way I can still see Shea Weber somehow in this, me being able to somehow carry the torch for him at any point later on the line.
Yeah, no, if they win the cup, then fair enough. But if you're going to do it, you got to do it this year or next.
That's what I call a segue. Also, those things that you stand on and you kind of lean forward and they drive, I call those segues as well. with that in mind, and we did the forum about this as well on rabbithabs.com, should Bergevin be buying in right now, trying to load up on this team and win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And Price isn't old, but he's not young at this point, as weird as that is to say. It seems like he's young. It seems like he's still, you know, breaking in, but he's kind of right in the thick of it right now. And when you're in the middle of those cup windows, you always think they're going to last forever, but they never really do. Like, unless you're Detroit or Jersey or a handful of other teams, like, that window is open for 2 years, three, and it can shut pretty quick.
Brodeur helped keep it open in New Jersey, though.
Yeah, and maybe Price does the same thing in Montreal. That's possible.
Yeah.
But still, it's relatively rare that these opportunities come around when you've got the best player in the world playing at the height of his powers. And, you know, they've already made one massive move.
Mm-hmm.
That was another weird thing about the trade is, even if you're in win now mode, I don't necessarily know if Weber makes you more likely to win now than PK does, but it's not like PK was an unproven commodity.
No. But, you know, like, they just felt it wasn't, PK wasn't the right fit for that room. They wanted the leadership thing. In their mind, that was a move for the Stanley Cup.
Yes. And in their twisted worldview, it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, having made that trade this offseason, having gotten off to the start that you've gotten off to, you know, with Price seemingly on track for another Vezina, another Hart, yeah, I kind of think you go all in this year.
I agree. And
the East isn't, you know, all that daunting either.
Nope.
It seems relatively wide open. Yeah, these chances don't come around all that often.
Speaking of the East, that brings us to our next bit. One we introduced last week, and the people just went crazy for. I had a lot of people just on the streets coming up to me and going, are they for real? I was like, oh, yeah, you guys know it. This week's...
I didn't realize that happened to me all the time, but I didn't know if that caught on in Toronto as well.
It did. Even in Toronto somehow it caught on. I think people like saying it more than they necessarily know the podcast. I do think it's a lot of posers, but still. They just know the face, and they know that's my new catchphrase. So, are they for real? Just the entire Atlantic Division. And by that, I mean, let's take a look at the standings of the Atlantic. Is there any way this holds up in any way, shape, or form? Right now, you've obviously got Montreal on top at 39 points.
Yeah.
In second is your favorite team, homeboy, Ottawa Senators, 34 points.
Yeah.
Then you got the Bruins at 32 points.
Yeah.
Then it's Tampa at 30, Detroit 29, Florida 28, and then Buffalo 26, Toronto 25. In my mind, there's no way the top three, Montreal, Ottawa, Boston, are the same top three come playoff time. I've got Tampa 100% in, and if I'm picking one out, I'm going with Boston. Ottawa, I think, is gonna do what they fucking do every year. And they'll come in at about the 7 or 8 spots. Maybe even with Guy Boucher's 1 year of magic, it'll be the 6th spot for them or something.
Yeah.
But there's no way Ottawa and Boston both stay.
You wouldn't think so. And Tampa kind of did this last year a little bit too, right?
Very much so. But they didn't have Stamkos.
Yeah, they got off to kind of a crappy start, and everyone's wondering, is this team for real? And then obviously it just clicked. And there's too much talent on that team for them not to... You know, maybe Montreal's built up enough of a lead that they'll still win the division, but there's no way that team finishes lower than second.
The best odds you could give me gambling-wise right now for who takes a division is just, like, I'm not going to take an over-under. I'm just taking even between Montreal and Tampa Bay to win the division.
Yeah, fair.
And that's with Montreal's got a huge lead on them at this point. I mean, it's a 9-point lead, and Tampa's got a game in hand. Like, they're bad. They're essentially 500. They're 14-12-2. Like, they're not playing well. But they're a good team.
Yeah, and they're a good team. There's continuity there. It's not like they're, you know, it's not like they made any weird changes that could blow up
in their face. It's the exact same
team. It's the exact same team. They've been without Stamkos before, and they've been fine. So, obviously, it sucks to lose him, but I don't think that's going to be a death blow to them.
No, and they better get used to that, because I think that's happening for the rest of that contract.
I think so, too. you know, they're well coached. There's been some friction with Cooper, but they're well coached. They're well managed. There's so much talent on that team. I think that they might be the most talented roster in the NHL, top to bottom. So,
yep, could be so.
I have no worries about the Lightning. So then you look at it from the bottom up. I mean, obviously Toronto's not ready yet. I don't think Buffalo's ready yet. Neither of those teams are getting in.
Here's the thing. Toronto, as of fucking last week on the radio here, they were like, is this a playoff team? You might be a 30th place team. Let's pull that back a little bit there, guys. But I love Toronto. They're adorable. It's so cute.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere yet. Buffalo's not going anywhere yet.
No.
Florida, that kind of looks like a lost season, right?
I mean, I think once you send the coach up, wait for a taxi, everybody quits on you.
Yeah, so I don't see that happening. So then you've got that mushy middle of
Detroit's Detroit. Not good. Detroit's not a good team.
Oh, Detroit's not good. I think this is the year the streak comes to an end.
So yeah, it's a 4-team race, and I definitely see one of them falling out. And I do think it's the Bruins. I think Ottawa holds on just because that's what Ottawa does. Going down the roster, I think the Bruins might be better, but Ottawa I don't know what they do, but they do it.
Yeah, and they're well coached. Boucher will squeak out enough 2-1 wins for that team to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay, so Boston misses the playoffs. Is Claude going to finally get the axe?
That's interesting.
That's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah, probably, eh?
Yeah, I
don't
know
if it's deserved, but I would think so.
Timing could be perfect on that if Foxhole Boy can't get himself out of the first round. No.
Yeah.
I used to think that. Now I don't know what the fuck it would take to get Michel Therrien fired.
Fair.
So that's that.
And this could be the year where only 3 teams come out of the Atlantic, right?
I kind of expect that. Maybe. I mean, it's always weird because of the fucking loser point. Like, everybody's going to linger. Detroit will probably still be within sniffing distance when it comes down to the end.
Yeah, the loser point drives me crazy, and the whole crossover thing drives me crazy as well. If you're going to do the divisional format, just stick to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, there's nothing the NHL can't make unnecessarily complicated for no discernible reason.
You know, just to cap this bit off, because last week we talked about, I don't know what the hell that was, we talked about the Columbus Blue Jackets saying, are they for real? And at the time I was like, no, but then I've kind of watched them play. They look really good.
Yeah, they do. And yeah, I'm just taking a quick look at the Metro. Pittsburgh, New York tied it for first, 37 points each. Philly's 2 points back. Columbus is in fourth. Washington's in fifth. Then there's a bit of a gap, Jersey, Carolina, and the Islanders way behind. So if there are only 3 teams that come out of the Atlantic, and let's say just for the sake of argument, it's Montreal, Tampa, and Ottawa. That leaves 5 slots out of the Metro. So the question is Columbus one of them?
You know what? I'm back to thinking 4 teams come out of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I am too. The East it's not a great year for the East.
Which is exactly how you segued into this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Pittsburgh, yes. New York, yes. Philly, probably yes. Washington, yes. But if you do get 5 teams out of the Metro, you're basically saying either Columbus or Jersey is going to be better than Boston or Detroit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But like you said, to get into this thing, the East is not spectacular. Again.
None of those teams are great. All it takes is, you know, if Rask gets hot down the stretch or if Corey Schneider gets hot down the stretch, like one of those shit teams will just sort of sneak in and, you know, not do much damage.
Here's a random, and I probably won't agree with this in a month from now when some teams start to separate themselves from the pack. But I don't know that the NHL is very good this year. Like, I don't know that there's any great team in the NHL.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Nobody to me at this point, I'm like, oh, watch out for them. Like, yeah, obviously Chicago's a great team. The defending champs are great. But nobody's terrifying. Nobody's coming into town and you're like, yeah, we can't fucking beat them.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time we had one of those teams, though?
Oh, the Chicagos of the last few years have been terrifying. The Kings have...
I think they've taken that much of a step back?
No, I think I just keep assuming that because of the at some point they're bound to get old. But you're right. We're probably not there yet. They probably just are. The Blackhawks just are that good.
Yeah, I'd say the Blackhawks are as close to as you're going to get to a great team in this day and age. Pittsburgh and Tampa are pretty up there too, and Montreal just again by virtue of price is sort of weirdly in that conversation. They're not a great team, but if you're an opposing fan, you're terrified to play them because you're going to score one goal.
I didn't think. You know, usually when Montreal goes out west, you know, there was a time not so long ago where if you were going into Detroit, Anaheim, San Jose, L.A., St. Louis, you went, holy shit.
Yeah.
We might be in first in the East, but we're about to get obliterated. The Habs look pretty good on that road trip. You know, even though they did lose to San Jose, they look good. They lost in overtime to the Blues, and I think were the better team in that game. The only game they were kind of outplayed was had to have Carey bail them out was the Detroit game. Overall, in the Anaheim game, they always fucking suck in Anaheim. So we'll give them that one. But I don't think the Ducks are a great team. I think they just always suck in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Like, usually I would have completely expected and did expect the Habs to come back from that road trip and me be going, yeah, the West is just so much better. Like, we don't have what it takes. The Habs look completely comparable to most of those teams. And those are still the juggernauts in the West.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Like, you take a look at things, and I do think the Central is stacked. You know, when Dallas is in sixth place, that's a pretty good division. But otherwise, like, the Pacific is dog shit. The Atlantic we already talked about. The Metro we already talked about. Leagues do have down years. Like, the NFL is kind of going through this as well, where there's not really a great team this year. Mm-hmm. You might be right. It could be, with the possible exception of Chicago, it kind of could be the same thing in the NHL this year.
And there's no better time for a hot goalie to win himself a Stanley Cup by himself.
Yep.
Yes. You heard it here, folks. They're going for the cup. Not to get people overexcited early. All right. Moving on to, I don't even have a name for this bit. This is more me asking you about Max Pacioretty. News that we got between periods last night on Thursday night. He's been playing with a broken foot for the last month at least. My question, I'm just putting this out there. How do you spin this into you still hating patches?
That's fair. It's tough. It explains a lot, right?
Oh, it explains a ton.
Like everything, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you can still lead with a broken foot. Here's what I'll give you, in case this is brought up by someone else, not me. Because I know, once again, you get approached on the street a lot by all the patches defenders, and they'll throw things at you. So if you need a defense to continue to hold this sport, it was only a hairline fracture.
Oh, well, in that case.
You know how thin a hair is?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if your bones, who was it for the Bruins whose bone was sticking out of his body and he still played a period? What is that legend?
I know what you mean. Yeah. I'm blanking on the name, but
was it Campbell?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. If we're talking recent, and I think there was like way back in the day, like someone who literally.
Oh no, that might be true though. That was from the Greatest Generation. They actually did do that shit. Campbell was just. Like hockey a lie really about it. Best. Oh, hockey is the best. Absolutely. I mean, I hate the like my sport desperation of like hockey Twitter sometimes. But, like, it is crazy.
It really is the best. Like, just guys with it's really a Monty Python sketch come to life, and I love it.
Well, I mean, even what Carey was doing on Thursday night, I was just like, I thought this is great. I love this. And in my head, I couldn't really defend it as because, like, when everyone was doing the pearl clutching on Twitter, you know, even Habs fans who were like, look, I get why he did it. And I was talking about this on the recency bias this morning, but I was just like, yeah, is it a grown-up, mature thing to do? No, but we're watching people play a kid's game. I'm not interested in grown-up, mature things to do. I want to see that. Like, that was the best.
Yeah.
Used some of his old roping skills. I spent a, like, when I
got... It would have been the best if he just pinned him to the ground like a calf and tied his legs together.
I know. There's no pictures of him doing that out there, probably because he won't allow it, because it's probably against his contract.
Definitely against his contract.
But I did spend a couple minutes this evening attempting to find a picture of him basically in the same position as he is on Palmieri with a calf, but they don't have any. They just have him with lassos. And by they, I mean the Google image search. So that's what the single greatest player in the world has been up to. But now we'll get into our another great greatest skater in the world. It's gone back and forth already between McDavid and Crosby this year. Little update statistically, little advanced metrics. McDavid's got 38 points. Crosby's got 29 points. Who do we want to give that belt to this week?
Man, they're both fun to watch. I'd kind of give it to McDavid right now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, even if it's just because he's got the spotlight on him at the moment. I mean, he managed to get into the argument about the concussion protocol the other night when he was pulled off after his face smashed into the ice. We'll get into that in a minute. And then the whole deal with the Manning on Philadelphia from Thursday night, where you had two of the best players in the world and two of the biggest controversies of the night, which was a lot of fun. Great night for watching hockey. I'm also going to give it to McDavid now.
I mean, he's got that team in first place.
That's crazy, because they're probably not very good if he's not doing that. Actually, I know they're not.
Yeah.
Price are the same. Whereas, like, the Penguins...
I think they're 1-2 in the heart conversation right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Crosby, like, if we're talking valuable, knows a strong term. I strongly believe, and the evidence historically has proven this to be true... If the Penguins lost Crosby for 2 months, they'd probably still be in the exact same place when he returned to them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, that speaks more to their depth than it does to...
Absolutely.
Crosby, but yeah, you take McDavid off of that weird roster they've assembled in Edmonton, and things fall apart pretty quickly. And listen, they might still fall apart pretty quickly with him on the roster.
Yes, like, they could. I sometimes wonder.
I'm not writing that team in the playoffs in pen.
No, I feel like that might be how's the cards too.
I hope not, though. I would love to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been like 8 years we've been saying that. I want it to happen quite badly.
Yeah.
So from that,
it's too bad that it's going to happen.
What's that?
Oh, you got all robot there for a second.
Cool.
Yeah, I know.
All I said was, what's that?
You know, I was just saying it's if this is the year they finally start to gel a little bit and, you know, get in the playoffs, maybe win around, it's too bad that it came after the Hall trade, but...
Yeah, but maybe, maybe Larson's that difference maker back there.
Yeah, could be. Has nothing to do with McDavid.
Nope. Shore up that blue line. That being said, I do believe, I've said this, go check all the tapes of all the podcasts we've done, I believe good defensemen are more valuable than good forwards.
Yes, I agree, but a number three defenseman is not better than a 40-goal scorer.
Ooh, Larson's only a number three to you?
That might not be fair. Even a number two defenseman, an elite number one defenseman is more valuable than an elite forward, but... The gap between their sort of respective rankings at their position is too big for me.
Agreed, but is a deep blue line, like one where your 1 through 6 are all pretty solid, is that better than having, say, two good top scoring lines?
Yep. I'm a firm believer that you build up from the blue line out, but. Just in that case, I really think Taylor Hall's a special player.
Yes, I agree.
And I think Larson, I get the logic behind it. They could have done something a little, you could have gotten a little more than Larson, right?
Apparently not.
Yeah, maybe not. And I do think if you're going to move one of those forwards that, other than obviously McDavid, like Hall would have been probably the second most untouchable, even more than Dreisaitl.
Yeah, I would have gone McDavid Hall as the two don't moves.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if this is, just, like, I have no idea, obviously. But I feel like you could have got Larson in return for any one of those guys. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe that's why I had to be Hall. But
Maybe Nugent Hopkins for Larson, I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. That makes complete sense. I think at the time I still would have thought that that New Jersey ripped off Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do get that blue line is so thin, but
and Larson, you get the rationale. Larson's a better player than I thought.
Yep.
I feel like I was wrong about how I really had him as like a third defenseman. I do think he's probably a number two defenseman on the majority of teams in the NHL.
Yeah, you're probably right. I said number three a while ago, but he's been pretty good.
Well, I think what I find interesting with how we classify these players is like he's number one, number two, number three defenseman is we always treat the league like there's, you know, every team has what we see as a number one defenseman, as a number two defenseman, as a number three defenseman. You know, there should be enough to be equally spread across the league. But that's just, like, the truth is there's not that many one defensemen. So that, no, there has to be, you know, maybe there doesn't have to be 30, but there does have to be, you know, 15 number one defensemen. That has to be a qualification line. Like, it can't be that, oh, there's only four number one defensemen in the league. No, that's not. Then we're completely wrong about what number one defenseman is. There might be some truly elite number one defensemen. But, you know, I always find it weird how we rank these guys where we have, I think, like, probably 70% of the number two defensemen in the league, we'd call them a number three defenseman at best.
Yeah, yeah, there's probably some truth to that.
Thanks. Thanks for agreeing with that. All right, let's see where we're at. Oh, another exciting bit that we're going to be bringing back for years. Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's already entertaining.
Why? Because they might have to change their name a week after the announcement? Because
they spent months hinting out names so that they could get a read on it and yada, 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 and we were guessing at it. And all of a sudden, for some reason, before revealing it to the whole world after all this buildup, they forgot to check with the trademark office.
Yeah, assuming that's the case, assuming there's not some sort of legalities I'm not aware of, like, that seems like a relatively easy box to check off, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, that you might even just have an intern do that. Hey, can you call the old copyright office and make sure that's cool? Since we apparently have been dancing around the fucking London Knights the whole time anyway. Let's just double check that there's no one else on the list.
Yeah.
Anyway, the school that I forget what they're called. It's a hilarious name. I wish I could remember at the moment. Jimmy Fallon went there. That's all I know. Didn't graduate though. Which apparently in the last semester is when you get taught not to laugh in every fucking skit. but they're apparently in like debt. So I have a feeling Vegas will just write them a check and they'll get to be the Golden Knights as well.
I would assume so. Yes.
So it'll all get fixed. But man, already Vegas, good stuff.
Off to a good start.
Well, they're
like I said, I kind of like the name and the logo, and I kind of weirdly want the team to succeed, but yeah, that's not great.
No, it's not great, but it's living up to the expected brand.
Yes, it is.
That's good. You know, you got to stay on brand. Yeah. They're doing that.
Yeah, they're selling confidence, are they?
No, not at all. It was just like, oh my God, guys, you don't even have a team yet, and you're failing. Easiest thing to do. Okay, we've gone. This is going to go long, so we better put this in right now. It's time for the mid podcast interview.
Hey-o.
It's me. I get to get interviewed this week. So throw in the towel, and when you're ready, let's do this.
All right, I'm here with Zach Vinas, Good Eastern Townships boy. Zach, first half hour. How would you think?
You know, it was nice. We got our legs under our pod legs back under us last week, you know, after some time off. And this week, I think we're just kind of figuring it out. We're rounding into form. A little shaken from the get-go, you know, what with the other podcasts at the top out there kind of stealing some of our stuff. That shakes you. But you come strong. You learn from it. You build from it. And you stick to your plan. You say, you know, no, we've been doing 76-6 since the beginning of the year. We're going to keep doing that.
Carey Price last night took a couple whacks at Kyle Palmieri. Did that have any influence on you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime Carey Price takes a couple whacks, I'm going to take a couple whacks too, you know?
Oh, I do know. All right. Go have fun out there, buddy.
Thanks, man. We'll shake hands. That was good. As always, electrifying stuff. Well, and now everybody's favorite game. It's called You Get One. You remember it from last week, I assume?
Clearly.
So within You Get One this week, as you play, this is kind of a the flip on this one, the Dark World version. It's more like you have to take one.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound like you knew this was coming. You're very sad. Last week lifted you. You got to spend your time dreaming of whether Cammy came back or Jagger joined it. And this week I'm giving you dun, 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 Kyle Clutterbuck, new contract, 5 years, 17.5. It's an average cap hit of 3.5 million. So you got to do you take that starting today? This is as of right now. Or the situation your Montreal Canadiens find themselves in. Thomas Bukanic, $6 million per for this season and the next. You're on the clock.
How old's Clutterbuck?
I don't know. Man, I love our every week, the bit of a pause while we find out how old everybody is. That should get its own, that should be its own bit. How old are they? Then everyone waits. I'm looking them up, don't worry. Get the Clutterbuck. He was born in 87, which makes him 3 years younger than me, which would put him at 29.
So he's 5 years younger than Plekanec?
Yeah. But
he's signed for 5 years.
Signed for 5 years. Plex has only got 1 year after this one. Plex is 34, as we all learned on last week's show.
I don't think Cal Clutterbuck's a very good player, but younger and cheaper, I'll go with him.
Yeah, and I'm trying to talk myself into disagreeing with you, but Plex has been so bad and looked complacent, which is really worrisome from him. I mean, I guess the nice part of complacent is you're like, oh, maybe he'll decide, maybe this is the year he's going to Tim Duncan the thing, which is, you know, for all those pure hockey fans who hate basketball, that means, you know, kind of glide through the regular season and realize you got to save yourself to the postseason, which would almost be kind of okay from him. If he did do that, because he's always been the exact opposite, but I feel like I'm reaching with that.
I don't think there's a lot left in the tank there.
He's young, but he's 34.
Yeah.
Which is old enough, but so it's old enough that it wouldn't shock me if it doesn't come back for him, if he's just a third line at best center now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's plenty of good forwards who start falling off pretty sharply at 34.
Yep.
Not everyone's Joe Thornton.
We got two.
What's that?
I say you and I, we got just a couple years left to try and break into the NHL before that window's closed.
Yeah, I know.
Do you feel like you might be in your athletic prime?
I do not, no.
Yeah, same here. That's why I think they got this wrong. You should be signing 14-year-olds. So yeah, when I was at my best. So, yeah, Clutterbuck. Holy crap. I don't know. Yeah. And, I mean, his average hit is not the right word, but it is 3.5.
Yeah, it's not – you're never going to kill yourself with a deal like that. No. That's a lot of money for a guy who's
– it's David Dale's net money.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can survive it.
It's you know, he's a better version of Travis Moen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I would also – I hope Plex makes me eat these words. Would love to eat that crow. But for now, I'm gonna agree with you on Clutterbuck.
Islanders having a weird year. I expected a lot more out of them.
But how amazing was that Tavares goal from last night, from Thursday night?
It was amazing. Equally amazing Bo-Meister? What's that?
Was Bo-Meister?
No, it was the as soon as Galchenyuk and Darnay went down, there was this brief 12-hour span on Twitter where every Habs fan, for some reason, is convinced that we would be able to trade for John Tavares.
I miss that. Really? There was some thought that we were going to go get Tavares.
Yeah, one of the 10 best players in the world whose cap hits like 5.5 a year.
Yeah, you couldn't pry him. I don't know what you would have to offer up to get him. Maybe nothing.
That's the other thing we didn't mention when we're talking about whether the Habs should go all in.
Oh, yeah, and that's the most important part, probably.
They don't have a ton of huge chips right now. The farm system isn't desolate. It's not like there's nothing there, but
it's not there's not a lot there. There's nothing that's going to attract you a big name. Like, what you're going to have to give away draft picks. The system's not going to do it for you.
Yeah. You know, McCarron and Sherbach are nice guys, but
yeah, you're not
they're not centerpieces of getting a superstar.
How about Zach Fucali? Where's he at? He in the East Coast Hockey League now?
Is Louis LeBlanc still kicking around?
Do we have Louis back? Oh, Louis, you were nothing. What about, I've already forgot his name. Guy we traded to Arizona.
Oh.
Holy crap. How quickly we forget.
Jesus. Tenardi.
Jesus. What an impression he made, apparently. You guys, recently, it's like 12 months ago, people still thought that he was something for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turns out, as I said the day he got traded, he is not anything.
I'm sure every fan base does this, but man, we really have some high expectations for some first round guys.
No. At least the passionate fan bases do it.
Yeah.
Like, I hear what they say here.
I know it's not unique to Montreal, but if I just go back and think of some of the players we've picked in the first round who I've had bizarrely high expectations for.
Yeah, I've learned to – that's one of the main reasons I don't – I'm not that interested in following the lower leagues. Like, because it doesn't mean anything is what I feel.
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? I don't really feel like that's an ignorant statement. Maybe – I know there'll be people who would argue with me, but I don't think that's all that ignorant. And that's a new bit called I don't think this is an ignorant statement, which you know is going to be – it's going to be amazing. You're going to want to tune in for that on a weekly basis.
It sounds problematic.
It's almost as bad as our I'm not racist but segment we tried a few years ago. Even the best scouts, they mess up. Like, look, Neil Yakupov went first overall. I don't know that he's an NHLer now. You can't tell until the – you know, there's obviously some scouting, and yes, it's a real science, and you can learn things from it. But with somebody with only so much time and energy to invest into following a sport, I don't think there's enough to really glean off of minor leagues unless you're just actually interested in those leagues for themselves. Like, if you're interested in is it feeding in the NHL and what these guys are going to turn out to be, there's just not enough there for me. Like, it doesn't turn out to be the way you expect all that often.
Yeah, and the weird thing is it doesn't seem like we've gotten any better at it.
Nope. For all the metrics that we have in there.
For all the resources every team pours into this, and you can see why they would, but, you know, if you told me that, you know, back in the 70s, teams were whiffing on players all the time, and now we're much more sophisticated, and they can do the projections, and they can develop talent better, like, that would make sense. But I really don't know if the hit rate's all that much higher than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Like, there's so many variables that come into play that it's a bit of a crapshoot.
All right, if I'm running an NHL team, here's what I'm pitching. A little unorthodox. Stick with me here as we go outside the box. New bit called As We Go Outside the Box. To save money, I say, you know what? With the internet and the TV programs, we're not doing any scouting. We're just going to wait till all the people put their lists out. We'll try and make an educated guess. We probably have the exact same chance of everybody sinking all this money and all this scouting of hitting on the right guys.
Sounds like a horrible idea, but that'd be good.
Look, they got animals choosing who's going to win football games every week that finish way better than the experts.
Correct.
It's all a crapshoot. No one knows what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. And I think what we've seen is that, you know, in Detroit's Exhibit A, is that being able to develop talent is
way more important,
exponentially more important than being able to spot talent.
Yep. Get a couple lists off online, see what Twitter's saying, and make a couple phone calls, you know, on a slower day at the office. Maybe call a few guys and see what they think. Put your list together from that, but spend all your money on development.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, both, you know, Datsyuk and Zetterberg are both probably headed to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You know, both were famously, whatever, I can't remember, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks.
Yeah.
And it's not because they were, you know, playing in some league in Sweden that no one had ever heard of, and some you know, the talent was always there, and some rugged Detroit scout saw something that no one else saw. It's because they have a player development system that's second to none. So if you're going to invest in something, I mean, this is obvious and it's easy to say, but developing, you know, developing that talent within the confines of your system is so much more important than, you know, sending a scout to North Dakota State who's going to see something in a second liner that no one else saw.
Okay, you say that, and yet Sylvain Lefebvre is still running the Montreal Canadiens minor league team. Like, they don't seem to put much value on that.
No, they don't. Not many teams do.
And look, like, look at the
talent. From the outside in. Looking from the outside.
Like, Bolya, okay, we expected, I think he's come up a little short at this point.
Yep.
Tenorti, way short of expectation. Zach Micali is drifting in space. McCarron hasn't made the leap yet, and to be honest, I'm not sure he's going to. Like, where's the development of anybody?
I mean, yeah, what's the last first-round pick they really hit on?
I mean, besides Galchenyuk, but that was a gimme.
Yeah.
That, sure. Once again, you don't need scouting for Alex Galchenyuk. Everyone would have taken Alex Galchenyuk there. I needed to look at Craig Button's list, and I'm taking Chucky there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing, right? It's those the top five picks every year are pretty much going to be gimmies, and then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot.
There you go.
PK Subban was a second round pick.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with the same reasons as now that people still don't like him.
Sure.
I think, like, spending too much, you know, the fact that people thought he was a little bit irresponsible defensively, just the fact that I'm sure he rubs some people the wrong way. Speaking of PK, it's time for confession. Yes. Our scintillating new bit, confession. Which, once again, I have a confession. Sean, forgive me for I've sinned.
What's up, buddy?
I love that. I watched the PK Subban HBO Canada documentary Skate Past the Noise.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And I didn't like it. And I just wanted to put that out there. And I feel bad about it. But it was really bad. It was nothing but a one-hour commercial for the PK Subban brand. It was pretty phony. It was pretty fake. I don't think there was a real sincere moment in it. There was no behind-the-scenes access to anything. The only part I really liked is his friend, the chef from the Montreal restaurant, kept hilariously referring to in every moment possible, and my best friend, PK Subban. Like, he says best friends so many times. Best friends, right? Like, it was great. That was great. That was a real moment. A real desperate moment captured. And maybe PK and him are best friends, but, you know.
You don't know.
No, I'm not saying they're not best friends. I'm saying it would be weird if I was talking about you and kept over-mentioning that you're my best friend. Not my friend, Sean. And my best friend, Sean O'Neill, that would be weird. Also, you're not my best friend. Don't get excited.
I wasn't. That's a very Funkhauser thing to do.
It was very Funkhauser. I did want, that would have been an amazing moment if they did, then cut to PK being, no. I don't know about that. So yeah.
I have to watch it, but that actually strangely made me want to watch it more, so.
Yeah, that part, I mean, you should watch it, for the whole thing. But yeah, there's just, it's really just a PK Subban brand commercial. Not, you know, it's fine, but if you're expecting to learn even a little bit from it. Is it a Kardashian episode? Not quite, but it sure as hell ain't a documentary, and it's not even like HBO's 24/7.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that he was probably sort of pitching that and quite interested in that as the Canadians hit their December slide last year and he was auditioning for the show may be something to do with why there were issues.
I think we figured out what happened. Like June 29th, PK went up to Bergevin and said, "Hey, I got a great idea for this HBO special I want to pitch." And that was just Bergevin just.
That may have been it. That might have been the day.
And that was the last straw.
That could have been it. It was the day he said, "Oh, yeah." That's probably it. He didn't even ask the Canadians. He didn't bring that up until, yeah, you're right. Like June 27th. Oh, by the way, would you mind going on camera and talking about how great I am like I'm having all my family do? Well, what for, PK? Well, I'm doing an HBO documentary. They really loved what I did in December. You know, remember how great December was? You know what? We're getting Shea Weber.
Just how out of the loop I am. Are they doing the special again this year?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Which nicely brings us to our next bit. Markov Instagram. Guess what? He hasn't Instagrammed anything. Moving on. That segment's cooling now that his baby mama doesn't seem to be running it so aggressively. She probably used it to get her numbers up, and now she's moved back off it. Or, like I said last week, he's concentrating on his game. And that's why he's once again having a ridiculously good season. here's a Markov-related opinion, though, that I read today. Andrew Berkshire saying he thinks Andre Markov, both Hall of Famer, and the Habs should retire his number when he retires. Is that just a hot take, or is there something there for you?
It's not quite a hot take, but it's overstating the fact.
A warm take?
It's a warm take. That's a warm take.
It's a warm take. A
warm glass of milk.
That's a new bit we call, how hot is this take? That would be warm.
Hall of Fame, no. Categorically, no. Number, no.
Well, I think if you're not in the Hall of Fame, you shouldn't get your number retired by the Canadians. That's what I like that your Boston Red Sox do that.
Yeah, that's fair. I've always had a soft spot for Koivu and thought maybe they could retire his number. But Koivu was, I mean, if Markov had been the captain for 12 years, then maybe.
Maybe.
But no. Nice career, but he's nowhere near a Hall of Famer in my book.
Agreed. Let's see where we at. Oh, I have the NHL Network goalie list written down here. Did you see that?
No.
That was horrible. They put, I think, the top 40 goalie. Twitter tore that one apart. So my only advice there is go check that out, and you'll have a good laugh.
I will. I'm looking at the number one picks, but this is a long one. This is like a throwback episode.
I know. We got into it.
Long ones, but so these are the Habs' number one picks over the last little stretch. 2016 Sergachev, who looks like the real deal, but obviously way too early to pass judgment on that one. Mm-hmm. 2015 Noah Yulson, which I completely forgot about.
He's still around, though. He might be something.
Yep. 2014 Sherbak, we'll see. Looks promising, but.
Yeah.
They all look promising at some point. 2013 McCarron, it hasn't happened yet. 12 Galchenyuk, that's a hit. 11 Bulio, who, like you said, not a bust, but has been maybe a shade under expectations. Mm-hmm. 2010, they get Tenorti in the first round, although they do get Gallagher in the fifth round. 2009 Louis LeBlanc. Mm-hmm.
He's an all-star there.
2008, they didn't have a first-round pick. And then 2007, Ryan McDonough, Max Pacioretty, PK.
2007.
Yeah.
Now we don't have either two of the three.
True.
And the other can't even fucking play through a hairline fracture.
They got Yannick Weber that year, too, which, I mean, obviously not a great player, but four NHLers in a draft, and three of them are superstars. That's pretty good.
And one of them is a dating, engaged to, married to Carey Price's sister, so that's something.
Who's that too, yeah.
You know, that's, I don't know what that is, but it's not nothing.
There are a few rabbit holes I enjoy going down more on Wikipedia than draft history.
Oh, you can go deep on draft histories. It's amazing. Like, yeah, sit down with some buddies.
I remember that dude.
Who?
Kyle Chipchura.
Oh, yeah, Team Canada captain, juniors.
Yeah. Speaking
I believed in that. That may be the moment where I lost any bit of confidence in any of that. Where I was like, oh, fucking, yeah. I'm not paying attention to anything junior anymore. I'll wait till they get to the NHL and start to see how that works out. Because I was so hyped. I was like, whoa, they got a guy who's captain of Team Canada Juniors? This guy's going to be amazing. Kyle Chipchura was not amazing. Spoiler alert.
I think the jury's still out.
He's not retired. I think he's still in the league, right?
Well, I've got his name right here, so why don't I just click on it? Because I don't know. No, he's in the KHL.
That's what I call the league. Sorry, that's my nickname for the KHL.
Yeah, you should have been more specific.
Sorry, the league, and then I call it the NHL, and then the league. for the KHL. It's just my slang. Well, that was a good run down the draft hole.
Career high was 5 goals.
That could be a new bit where we just run down draft holes.
Yeah. I should probably think of a better name, but yeah.
No, I think that's maybe perfect.
Yeah, draft holes would be good. I'm count me in.
Draft holes. That's also probably going to be the name of this podcast. All right. We do have to get out of here.
Yeah, I suppose we do.
We've got a few things left. First off, your controversial opinion.
Touched on this earlier, actually. I hate saying this. I don't know how controversial this is at this point, but my controversial opinion of the week, Plekanec is done, man.
I don't even know if that's controversial.
Yeah, he's not off to a bad start. He's not saving himself for the playoffs. He's not, you know, at the stage of his career where he's going to morph into something different but equally effective. Like, I think he's shot, and he might be out of the league in 3 years.
I wish I didn't have to agree with you. I really think that it may just be over for him. And this was a fear we always had, though, too. Like, when he signed that last contract, we were looking at the age. You're like, yeah, I know he's going to do this for one or two more years. But the way he plays, and just his age, you did know that this was out there. That's why the $6 million seemed steep. You knew it wasn't really a ripoff for the last, you know, the first 2 years of it. And I don't think it was. I think he was about a $6 million player. He's very valuable defensively. He was still going to get you 20 to 25 goals most season. You could depend on that. And night in, night out, he was probably the most underrated player on the team.
Yeah.
Definitely not the case now.
No. And you know, he's getting up there, and there's a lot of tread on those tires, too. Like, he hasn't been injured very often. He plays a lot of minutes. He plays a lot of tough minutes. You know, he came up relatively young. Like, he's played a lot of games and a lot of minutes. And it really doesn't look like there's a whole lot left.
Same conversations we were having about Markov. Does his turtleneck hang from the rafters?
I would thoroughly enjoy that, actually.
That would be amazing, actually. Yeah, there should be something
where you can hang out. Like, players who aren't quite good enough to get their number retired. But
we do something for them.
Like a bronze turtleneck.
he gets a bronze turtleneck. Andrei Markov, we just put up a Mr. Bean poster. or we take his two metallic legs and kids can go and see him and touch him. A lot of options out there. Koivu, we just make him be there forever because he's the best.
Fair.
Just no Saku, sorry, you got to hang around. What we entered for you was you. You're the gem.
Just keep. Gotta think of something good for Kovalev, though.
Oof. What could it be? The flow? Just his hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe the helmet that popped off.
Yeah, that would work. Or you just play his work at a DVD at all intermissions.
Do they not?
I do.
Yeah, that's what I do at home. I just thought I was trying to do the Bell Center experience. See, how fast can you do it? It's been a while since I popped that in.
You really only need to watch it once.
You bought it and we watched it, I think, the once. Maybe twice, because we probably had to show some people. We might have brought it out some parties, in case you wonder how awesome parties at our apartment was back in university. No, ladies. Watch this Kovalev DVD. Oh, are you a big fan of his? Oh, huge. So you like this? Oh, we think it's funny. We'll be going now. That's cool. We're going to stay here and watch this.
Yeah, that's pretty much the college years.
And then we were like, man, wouldn't it be great if we could just record these conversations for everyone to enjoy someday? My controversial opinion is we were the coolest in university. That's what I'm calling.
That is controversial at best.
At best. It's controversial in that very few people would agree with it. Luckily we're out of that hole now. All right, and now we got to finish it with the positive space. Let me get things going here in the positive space. Well, I lost my lighter, so we're just going to have to fake it like we always do. What do you... It wasn't even all that negative. Oh, I guess Plekanec. Can you find any positive space around Plex?
I can, actually. I think probably he had his best game of the year the other night.
That's good. We can run with that. Yeah, he did in the No Dernier. I know that's the scariest thought of all. And no, Alex Galchenyuk. Are we better without Dernier? That's my controversial opinion. The Canadians are better if Therrien can't use him.
If Galchenyuk wasn't hurt, maybe. But with two big holes in the lineup, like, you don't really have a top six center anymore.
Yeah. That's why that opinion is so controversial, because it's probably incorrect. That's good. No, I agree. He did. He had it. That was a great game by him. But then again, on Thursday, he looked... sorry, I'm fucking up the positive space. That was a great game by him. End of that. Mine is... So, PK Subban special is completely PR and just an ad for PK Subban. But... positive space, it's an hour-long ad for PK Subban.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so there you go. There's that. It's not the worst. It's much like the Alex Kovalev workout DVD.
I would enjoy an hour-long Shea Weber special where he just stares into the camera.
It would be like having a nice painting in your home. Does it do anything? No. But it's amazing. All right. We're going to leave it on that. Great positive note.
Yeah.
Enjoy staring at your Man Mountain paintings, everybody. We'll see you next week, we hope.